Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Good.
Good. That's good. I'm glad I can hear you.
That was a little delayed, but it happens.
Yeah, I apologize. I was working on some universal language real quick. You got me right in the middle.
It happens.
I was trying to balance. It didn't work, so I apologize.
It's all good. It's all good, brother. It's all good. Well, I hope you're having a hell of a... What's today? Monday?
Yeah, it's a Monday. It's a Maniac Monday. Monday night. I got to start building this show. I got some music in the email, in the inbox. I'm super pumped that I got some music from some third-party sources. So I'm excited to get those going.
Good deal. Good deal. You know what I'm excited for is this joint I'm about to light up.
Dang. What kind of weed is it?
I don't know. Some type of indica we got here. I can't remember the name of it. You know, weed names nowadays, there's fucking so many weed names nowadays.
Right?
It's like,
right?
It's nuts. It's super nuts. How many different weed names there is. You want to know a crazy story about weed?
Yeah,
I think
let's
I
hear
may
it.
Have said it on the podcast before, but I was back at home one of these weeks. Let me light this, actually. I was back at home and sitting on the front lawn with my pops. I'm fucking smoking a fat joint. And we're just shooting the shit. And he just starts telling me, you know the marijuana we had back in the day? And he just starts naming these strains. These strains of marijuana. He only names three or four. He names
really,
yeah. He names Acapulco Gold. He names Sensimilla, then Sensimilla, and then there was another one. But those three specific, Semilla, Sensimilla, Acapulco Gold. Those were like the three biggest ones. My dad tells me this. Yeah, this was. And my dad fucking smoked just fucking pounds of reefer back in the day, you know, and. Sure enough, we were listening to Joey Diaz talk. Joey Diaz, oh, nice. On a podcast. You know, big guy from, big Italian guy from, The Longest Yard? The
yeah,
newer one?
Yeah.
We're hearing him talk just super heavy fucking Italian accent, man. And he starts going on about pot. And he's an avid pot smoker. And sure enough, he just starts talking, you know, it's fucking pot. You know what we had back in the day? And sure enough, he names fucking Semilla, Sensimilla, Acapulco Gold, and then some other one. And my dad looks at me and he's like, I told you. My dad's like, I told
Damn.
You.
And that's
yeah,
cool.
Think about that. Like, my dad grew up seismographing down the fucking fields in Texas and in Oklahoma. And fucking Joey Diaz was from fucking Brooklyn, you know? That goes to show, man. Down there, down in the 70s and the 80s, man. There was only one couple stretches of weed, strains of weed. And it was really stretched all over the place. You know?
That's very true. That's very true. And the crazy thing is, like, the growth from that. You know, like there was only four strains, so that's possibly the four mother strains, and they just grew from there. You know what I mean? Which is really, really cool to even think about. Like now, there's like. You know, cat piss, dog shit, you know, like
purple ass crack.
Fucking crack. There's
some
Girl
of the
Scout
names.
Cookies,
yeah,
you know, like,
green crack, punch death.
Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck?
Fucking Snoop Dizzle, like all sorts of crazy shit.
Right, Scooby Dick, just all sorts
yeah,
of
Scooby
shit.
Wiener. Yeah.
But, yeah, just fucking pot these days, man. There's fucking 1,000 different type of names. Hey, but let's just talk. We have really, literally nothing planned, but actually did nothing planned to talk about. But I actually just saw Conor McGregor got arrested.
Yeah, in South Beach, man. In South Beach.
For being an idiot. He was being an
Honestly,
idiot.
I think he is just an idiot, dude. He's an idiot altogether. He does this bullshit just to get fame. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of him. I'm not. Just like I'm not a fan of Money Mayweather. just because their antics are not exciting to watch. If you're the best in the world and you're the best at what you do, you know, like the cool thing about Mayweather is he shows up on the mat and he kicks, you know, he kicks his ass. But like Conor McGregor gets his ass handed to him, and he's supposedly, you know, one of the best in the world. He's like not even the best in the world. You know what I mean? He's all like, I'm the best in the world. Not even, dude. Mm-hmm. Not even. He was arrested in South Florida for smashing a cell phone of somebody who was trying to take his photo.
Yeah, that's fucking no class. No class.
No class. Like,
you know what I'm saying? And, you know, but shit like that sells. You know, it's the shit that sells, and that's unfortunate, but I didn't...
Like we've talked about before, though. We've talked about that before. You know what I mean? Like, this is what we've come to. This is the kind of shit that we've come to make it exciting and what sells. You know, like, what happened to just, you know, just good advertisement? No, you have to throw somebody's cell phone, be an asshole about it, and people are going to pay attention to you. Like, that shouldn't be it. To be honest.
Yeah, that's just how Conor McGregor is. You know, he's a fucking loudmouth and so forth. And they'll let him get away with that shit. You know, like whenever he smashed
the bus,
that bus. And there's lawsuits against him for that. Somebody was somebody went blind from that. Somebody was hurt from that. But that, unfortunately, that's the antics it sold. You know what I mean? And
just for a stupid fight that he got his ass kicked by Khabib.
Oh, he fucking
Khabib kicked
him,
his man. Ass.
He fucking rocked
Khabib
him.
Khabib kicked his fucking ass. And like, and the only reason I know that, I'm not saying, oh, I spent $100 on watching that garbage. I watched it. I just looked at it on free, you know, on free media. I was not going to even waste my time.
Right. No, I'm with you, man. That's nowadays free media is the way to go. You know what I mean? Free media. But yeah, I wanted to mention that. And one of the other things, now, since I just kind of want to get off Conor, well, I was never on him, but whatever.
No, you were definitely on him. That was definitely your type of thing.
Whatever. Go away. But anyways, hey, there was a massive coke bust in New York. Did you see that?
More cocaine.
70, you know, like, had a street value. I don't mean to interrupt you, man. 77 mil worth.
Where is this coming from?
$77 million. It came from South America, is where it came from.
And it was all the way in New York, you said?
New York and New Jersey. I got busted at a port of entry, is where it got busted. 3,200 pounds of booger sugar.
Interesting, right? Interesting.
Right.
Yeah, they said this is the largest New Jersey bust in years.
25 to be exact.
Yeah, 3,200 pounds of Colombian grade A cocaine.
Straight up a booger sugar, Folgers in a can that'll make you go, yeah, yo, literally.
They said they found 60 burlap sacks packed to the brim with wrapped bricks of cocaine nestled among several containers of dried fruit.
Smart. Interesting.
Obviously, they said not this smart is 100 enough. Times bigger. This is 100 times bigger than the French Connection. And invoking the infamous 1970s heroin smuggling scheme. This is bigger. Bigger than that.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
You know, I was reading that article, man, and this was a 3,200 pounds worth of fucking coke. And in the article I was reading, this is the biggest one in 25 years. The one before this was 6,600 pounds of coke.
Coke in 1994.
That's a fucking ass load of fucking booger sugar.
It was found in a shipment of roofing material. Like, what's going on here?
This which one? The most recent one or the one in 94?
No, just all together. Like, this is astronomical. That's together. If you add those together, that's almost, what, 8,000 pounds.
No, it's more like just a little bit under 10,000. Yeah, 3,266.
Okay, sorry.
Yes.
So what, 9,800? 9,800 pounds. Yeah, that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
That's a lot of cocaine, man. And it all comes from South America, man. You know that shit. I'm sorry, man. Big old shipments like that. I mean, I'll be honest, man. They probably do come from just walking over the river, but they're only gonna get maybe a kilo off of that. Maybe if that. They ain't gonna be no mule like this. This is a fucking mule, dog. Like, this is a fucking massive bust. You know, and it was all out of a port of entry. You know what I mean? See, they should just put some more money and resources there. Just move our troops right there, you know? More of them. You know? Wouldn't that be more efficient?
I agree. I don't know why it's not. It makes
like,
no sense
to me. Like, if you think about it, like, if you were to put, I don't know, this is just, I'm stoned right now. The joint's already kicking in. But if you think about it, at every port of entry, El Paso has three right here next to me where I'm at. They have three. And if you were to put 100 at each of them, just 100 soldiers from Fort Bliss at each of them, you know, they'll scan the cards before going in and or even before they leave. I mean, they'll just do extra scanning. They're just extra bodies, more searching, more hands. I just think it'd be more efficient, you know?
Yeah, it would. It would. Instead of having to worry about building a wall, we should be being more concerned about how 3,200 pounds of cocaine was able to come from South America all the way up to New York.
Like, no shit. Like, who does anybody patrol the sea? I mean, I know the sea is big, but I mean, this was on a cargo bum, right? With a regular route and everything.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying there needs to be more water patrol, but I mean,
there needs to be something.
I mean, 3,200 pounds of booger sugar is a lot, man. But it didn't get in. It didn't cross all the way in, though. If you think about it, it is on our soil. It is on our grounds. Who knows how it gets destroyed? It might go to politicians. It might get burned. It might get dumped in the Mississippi. Who knows?
What are they going to do with that much cocaine? Like, what do you do with that?
I don't know. Give it to somebody on death row and say, test the waters.
Oh, here you go. Other agencies involved in the bust included the NYPD, Coast Guard, New York State Police, and Homeland Security investigations. A small sample of the coke will be vouchered as evidence, and the rest will be burned.
Like Usher.
Like Usher.
It's a lot of fucking powder, man. You know,
it's a lot of powder. That is like way too much. It's just way. It's way too much. It's literally way too much.
You know, and it's the thing about it, man. And you know, we just mentioned it a while ago. You know, I'll try not to mention it again. But you know, that came in through a port of entry. You know, that didn't come in. That didn't come walking in on a donkey. You know what I'm saying? That
right. No, you're. On a donkey, I agree.
Or it didn't come in. In the pocket of a 60-year-old grandma. You know, I'm just saying, like, it came in through a port of entry. That's where we need to have our eyes. We need to have our eyes on the port of entry. So
that's so crazy. That's so crazy.
Yeah, man, that's a lot of coke. But yeah, that's one thing that I wanted to mention. There was another, man. There was something else that I definitely wanted us to talk about. Two things that I wanted us to talk about. And these are from articles that I wanted to talk about. So we can talk about these things and talk about what's going on out there. One specifically that kind of was a Florida mom stabbing her 11-year-old. Her 11-year-old Jeez. Daughter. So what I'm going to do here for the sake of I'm going to drop it to Felipe, but just so that he can fact check me while I go through this kind of article with you all. And I didn't go all the way through it, but, you know, basically in the gist of things, a Florida mom, you know, stabbed her 11-year-old daughter. And it wasn't once, it was multiple times. You know, I find out multiple times as I read through the article, you know. But the kind of the strange thing of the article was that mom stabs her, obviously stabs her more than once, but like drives her to the hospital, demands, you know, somebody help her. And then she starts wielding the knife, you know, just starts getting combative with them. So obviously the cops get there and they arrest her. And obviously she's the one to it, but just that concept right there. You stab your daughter multiple times, then you drive her to the hospital and demand help with a knife that you killed her with, probably. You know, just wrap your mind around that concept. 11 years old, at 11 years old at that, I mean.
Yeah, but the crazy part is the reason why.
What was the reason why? I couldn't find
it. To prevent her from having sex.
You're kidding me, right? No, fuck you. I did not
need that. I'm dead serious. I am dead serious.
You're fisting me, man. No, I did not read that, Philip.
Dead serious. Dead serious. Her name was Rose Rivera. And she's later told investigators she killed her daughter to prevent her from having sex with men. No joke.
Hold up. Hold up. Did you see the video?
No, I have not. I've only reading the article
that I sent you.
ABC News. No. Off what you're exactly talking about.
Link me the one that you have, because I have a different one.
It's the same one. It's in Florida.
Well, this one doesn't say the one that I have doesn't say to prevent her from having sex. I believe you, you know, but this one that I have doesn't say it was to prevent her from having sex. Are you fucking kidding me, man?
I sent it to your Facebook Messenger.
You would. Oh, sure enough, that's her. Man. Oh, my. She later told investigators, there it is. Oh.
Yeah, and this article that you're looking at right here does not show that.
Yeah, you saw that one?
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm seeing it. Yeah, but the article that I sent you shows that the reason why she did it was so her 11-year-old daughter would not have having sex with anyone.
Stated she stabbed her daughter while in the car. Stabbing her. She was attempting to make her more comfortable. Oh, my Lord. I mean, come on. I mean,
yeah, but see, like, the crazy part is 15 times. 15 stab wounds to her back and a defensive wound on her right arm. So, like, what world have we came to where mom was so torn that her kid was probably getting ready to have sex or been having sex? And says, you know what? That's not going to happen. I'm just going to freaking stab you.
You think it was the little girl was already having sex?
I mean, oh, 11 yeah. years old.
At 11, you think so?
It's real life. It's possible. Now, man. And
it's possible, right?
Yeah. Some of those people, girls now about that age, like. They dress like they are having sex at 11.
Yeah, that's definitely true, man. But at 11 years old, man, she stabs you and stabs her multiple times. You know, a person like that. You know, we've been big on talking about rehabilitation, but I mean, obviously, it's very safe to say that that person shouldn't be around children again unless
never again
supervised, unless drastically supervised. You know, but man, how does one come back from this?
You can't. You literally decide that you're going to kill your kid because you don't want them to have sex anymore. You can't. Something drove you there and you literally can't come back from that. Like there's no way.
How does she rehabilitate? Does she? Does she plead insanity?
She probably pleads insanity, or she commits suicide while in custody.
You think she commits suicide while in custody?
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah, you know what? That's a high possibility. I mean, it's not like we haven't heard of anything like that before. You know, and I don't. It just happened to segue like this. You know, like speaking of suicide, I was talking to a buddy of mine this weekend. It had been a while since we had hung out, and he was telling me he had moved away from Las Cruces, and now he moved back or moved to El Paso. And he was telling me he was out in Arizona. He was telling me, well, when he went out in Arizona, he ended up working for an apartment complex to start off as the trash guy. It was a bigger complex responsible for all the trash and keeping the facility clean and so forth. But he was telling me, you know, the complex that he was at, you know, he just eventually people left and he went to a groundskeeper. Then he went to like be maintenance, you know. So just think about like he was maintenance. He was a maintenance man in an apartment complex in fucking Phoenix, Arizona. And he was telling me, he said the biggest problem with that was the suicide.
Thanks.
Now think about it. I mean, if I'm about to hear a story like, man, I work for this apartment complex, I'm about to be like, this dude's probably like seen some ratchet ass thotties, seen some nasty ass kitchens, some nasty ass apartments. But no, the problem here was fucking suicide.
Yeah.
Why? Because he was telling me was that these fucking apartment complexes, you know, like they can't just like, number one, they can't just like give a key to any family member, you know? So if he gave me an example, you know, people would come over, you know, oh, like I haven't heard from my daughter, my brother, this and that. And then, well, he would tell them, well, we can't just open the door. We can't just open it. You got to file a police report. And sure enough, police would come back, you know, they don't have to open the door, break something so they can get in. So maintenance said it would have to get in. Maintenance would have to go in there. Maintenance would have to clean up. I mean, maintenance, he would have to clean that shit up. Going in, seeing fucking brains all over the wall. You know, shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a problem. You know? And then
telling probably a new person who's going to probably rent that apartment, oh, yeah, this is a great apartment.
Yeah, there's 1,000 pieces of brains right above you, you know?
Yeah.
It was nuts. And he even told me this one story, man. He told me this one story that real nice girl, because we got to talking about, you know, just talking about the gig and suicide in general. And he was telling me that, just told me this one specific story that obviously stuck with him the most, you know? He said, this girl he would see around walking her dog, really nice, always looked always happy, but she goes, I guess not answering dad's phone call for a few days, and she lives on the second story, or she lives on the second tier of this apartment complex, so sure enough, dad comes a few days later and brings the cops. Well, cops can't bust in. The cops can't bust into the door because they see that the balcony's open, if I'm right. So they send him up there. So he technically has to go up there. And he was hoping not to run across anything, you know. So sure enough, as soon as he walks in, you know, he doesn't see anything, but he turns to the couch and she's right there by the door, you know, just overloaded on like 15 some odd script pills with booze, you know.
Jesus.
You know, and he's sitting there and, you know, she had stuck something in the keyhole and broke it so they wouldn't be able to open it, from what he told me. So there he goes. So he had to put a ladder up to the second tier, climb up there, find that there was something stuck, go back down, go up there, board out. Like, he's having to walk in and out of this literally with her body sitting right there. And you're just like, I mean, come on. You know what I mean? Like, how is that even something you sign up for when you're like, yeah, dude, I'll fucking work for whatever to go fucking cleaning out some apartments and shit. Sure, why not?
Yeah, dude, I'm so down. I'll throw some shit away, and then you have to be the guy who's gonna find people just took themselves out. Oh man, that's rough.
That's super rough. You know, and it's I've had the same conversation with a cousin of mine. Well, you know, my cousin Mikey, he works for the state, you know, and he's told me, you know, state has to go out there to those big wrecks, you know, and there's been times where, you know, they're the ones that are having to help out DPS and other people, you know, pull out body parts, find bodies and stuff like that. I mean, where's that on the contract? You know, where's that letter? You know what I'm saying? And hey, stuff like that drives people crazy, man. It drives people crazy.
Well, why do you think, you know, people like firemen and people like first responders and people like, you know, ambulance drivers, you know, there's such a high risk of suicide with those guys.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
Really? Interesting.
Because they have to see all that, and then they have no one to talk to about. So then they just sit there and just like,
Technically they do, but whether or not they accept it or not, that's something else. Yeah. We have Manny who works for 911, you know, who's a first responder. And thank you to all you first responders out there.
Yes, yes.
That are listening. But whether or not they do it or not, or whether or not they take it, that's something different, you know.
I have a friend who lived here in Boulder for quite some time. She was a nurse, and her husband, who they were married to each other for a couple months. And when I say couple months, I mean a couple months. And he was an ambulance driver, and like a couple months into their marriage, he killed himself.
Ouch.
You know what I mean? And like she's so into that, you know. These first responders need people to listen to them too, you know, and that just makes so much sense. You know, you're dealing with so much, you have so much you have to deal with, you know, and there's just so many things, and it's, you know, you don't really have anybody to really, you know, kind of decompress with, especially if you're somebody who's in that same environment all the time, you know, like, how are you going to talk to each other to kind of talk each other down? You know, you're going to kind of just almost stay negative within each other, which is kind of rough.
Super. Super. Was she real? Did she advocate, or did she start that big movement when he was before he passed or after?
After he passed.
After he passed?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it'll open an eye, that's for sure.
You know, oh yeah,
it'll really really open an eye, and that just goes to show. I mean, how big of an impact, or not big of an impact. I mean, suicide rate. We've talked about it a few times on the podcast. I mean, it's just technically, it's just skyrocketing. You know what I mean? We've had somebody famous recently commit suicide. What the hell was that person? I'm gonna have to come back to it. But just the mental health. You know, I wish.
Well, wish, yeah, you had Mac Miller. Mac Miller.
Well, yeah.
Recently committed suicide. I was talking
about one recently, like less than a week ago, there was one.
Who was it? Wasn't it a singer? Oh, the guy from Prodigy. The guy from Prodigy, he was a musician who recently committed suicide. Keith Flint. Keith Flint was the lead singer for Prodigy, and he committed suicide.
Yes. Yes.
There's also Chester Bennington from Linkin Park.
Oh yeah, we all knew about. There was like a recent one, man. But anyways, But yeah, man, I mean, that's, I mean, stuff like that. And the biggest one, I mean, the biggest one that comes to my head when I think of suicide and think of celebrities, man, is...
Oh, you're talking about Frida. Frida Foreman, George Foreman's daughter. She died by suicide.
Yes, yes. She's the one.
Yeah, Frida Foreman, George Foreman's daughter, committed suicide.
Yes, she was the one. Yes, yes. No, yeah, this one was like a day or so ago, right?
This was on March. When was it? Just this past weekend, March 8th. No,
yeah,
you're talking about the cyclist Kelly Caitlin. She was found dead on March 8th. Yeah. She was the Olympic cyclist.
Olympic cyclist, yes.
And then March 3rd was the Keith Flint. And then George Foreman's daughter died this past weekend. So just like last Saturday.
This is nuts, man. So it's 42-year-old daughter, Frida. Man. It's a rough one.
Yeah, so like in 2017, there were an estimated 1.4 million suicide attempts in the nation. And it said, and the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention says more than 47,000 died by suicide.
47,000 drive-by suicides?
No, died by suicide.
47,000 people died by suicide.
Correct. So 1.4 suicide attempts, there was attempts, but actually 47,000 died by suicide in 2017.
And where was it in 2018?
It probably hasn't came up with numbers yet.
No numbers yet?
No.
Mm-hmm. No. That's nuts, man. It's, I don't know. Talk to somebody out there.
If you need somebody to talk to or anything, like, come on, you know, like,
jump on the podcast with us.
Yeah, jump on the podcast, talk to us, let us know you're hurting, you're not feeling well, or something. Like, there's no reason why you can't at least, you know, talk some shit with us. We'll figure it out, you know.
Come over, you can get stoned with me.
Yeah,
come over and get stoned with me. Which, you know, we got this little fishing trip coming up, Phil. I don't want to tell nobody where we're going, even though we've already maybe have said it. I don't want to tell nobody where we're going.
Who cares? But we're going to Lake Roberts in Silver City. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah,
it is. It's going to be a blast.
It is. Counting down the days for that one to happen. So next week, it'll be even shorter. It'll be even closer. But, hey, did you see DeSean Jackson's got let go by the Bucks?
No. He got traded.
Traded?
Eagles.
Is that how it worked? Yes. I saw something real quick on it.
No, he got traded to the Eagles.
So he's going back to Philly. What do you think about that, Phil?
Bye.
Bye.
Dumb. Yeah, I don't get all these trades right now. I have NFL Network in my background right now, and I'm just kind of getting frustrated because I feel like everybody's leaving the Steelers right now.
Like who? What do you mean?
Well, Antonio Brown, he's gone to the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell, he's probably gone here to the Jets. Jesse James, he's gone to the Lions. Freaking Marcus Gilbert traded to the Cardinals.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yikes. Well, in time, right?
Yeah, in time. in time. Here's a fact for you, Pete, and I thought this was interesting for you. West Virginia and New Mexico had the highest number of deaths. And Mississippi and Texas had the lowest, and these were suicide deaths.
That's an interesting fact. That's good to know. I would have never thought. Not here. Well, then again, we're a pretty poor state. So I don't know.
I would say poor state, hot. It's hot.
fucking say hot.
It's fucking hot. Dude, that's when people make stupid fucking decisions, dude, when they're hot. You know, like, it's actually a fact. You know, like, if you notice, when it gets hot, there's a lot of robberies. There's a lot of bank robberies. There's a lot of shootouts. There's a lot of violence during when it's a hotter part of of the weather cycle. It's true. That's facts. Facts.
I did have a question for you, because I had asked this question on the live podcast, and I still do have a question. That question is, if you could have, aside anybody from your immediate family, I'm talking about mom, dad, brothers.
Yeah.
Same thing with me, because I would pick mom in this sense, you know, I would pick mom, but not immediate family. If you could sit down, you can, after that, you can have any family member. If you could sit down and have lunch with anybody for a solid hour, who would it be?
I did say,
or maybe three.
Remember, I said at first I did say queen, but I actually changed my decision. To Biggie Smalls, Biggie? Christopher Wallace. Okay. I just want to talk to him. I just want to see, like, you know, like, what made you you, man? Like, you were fantastic, you know? Like, why did you have to leave your house that day, you know? Next one, I would probably say Mario Lemieux, my hockey idol. And then I would probably say third, dead or alive? Oh yeah, dead or alive. Non family member. I would probably say third.
Yeah, dead or alive.
Would probably be, and I know this is gonna sound weird, and I might get kicked back for, and it's okay. Hitler. Mm-hmm. I was very intrigued by Hitler. I still am intrigued by Hitler.
Well, he had a lot of control over people, man.
Yeah,
he did. He just had a way. You know what I mean?
And I read Mein Kampf, if you know what Mein Kampf is.
Jeez, you'll get kicked back for that for sure.
But Mein Kampf is pretty intense, you know. Like,
it is. I've been told. I've never read Mein Kampf. I've read a piece of it in a post once, but
I'll send you a PDF. You know, free book for you if you want to read it. It's very interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting to read.
Yeah, Mein Kampf is a pretty interesting piece of lettering group piece of work. No, that's good. That's good. Hitler, man, I wouldn't have thought that one though.
I have a weird obsession with Hitler. I don't know. Anybody wants to talk to me about it, we can talk about it. But yeah, it's. I don't know. I feel like what it is like how much control he was able to have over a whole nation, and people would follow him into like the depths, you know, and they would do all sorts of crazy stuff just for this one man of a thought process. You know what I mean? And like, that's amazing to me. Like, how could you control that many people? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess it's just more about the mind of Hitler and the way that he was. Also, he was very, very intelligent with his like art. He made amazing art and very interesting poetry. So if you ever get a chance to read some of his stuff, like it's kind of mind opening, which is really interesting. But yeah, like I just have a weird read on him. That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Things will never be the same.
Yeah, well, you're vouching for everybody to read Mein Kampf, so hopefully nobody comes back with like a Hitler sign or something.
Yeah, right. They have like a swastika.
Yeah, swastika. There you go. That's what it calls it, swastika. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I like it.
How about you? Let's hear yours.
you know, with mine, well, I have I think mine's a little bit more darker. And well, I don't know if it's darker.
I don't know. I think I just said all dark. I just said Hitler.
Well, and what I mean by darker is maybe somebody on death row that doesn't have anything to live for anymore. Maybe get their outlook on what they're leaving behind.
That's interesting.
And maybe just like and I'm going to say this, but I mean, it's obviously up to them. And obviously I would have to be in that situation first, but you know, just try to get a true, honest reasoning on why they would have committed whatever they had committed, you know, cause there's a reason behind everything. You know what I mean? We've said it multiple times, you know? And that's kind of what I think about. I have a relative who's been doing some time. He's already been in for quite some time, well over a decade, if I'm right. And that's one thing that I told his brother was that because he had asked me if I'd seen any pictures of him recently, and I said no, I haven't. And me and him were his brother that's incarcerated now. I mean, we grew up together. He was about 2 years younger than me, but I mean, we lived. You know, I showed you that walk. Remember? I showed you that walk from my house to my aunt's house, and that's where we grew up. You know, and I told myself, man, after I seen a picture, I told myself, you know what, I wouldn't give to sit down and have a lunch with him, an hour. Obviously, I'd want more, but you know, just something that basic. Just, I don't know. See if I can get a feel of who I used to know. But then again, talk to somebody who apparently did what they did. You know what I mean? And at the earliest, he would be released at his, you know, mid-50s, you know, mid-50s. And he's 2 years younger than me.
Yeah, that's kind of where my uncle is right now. My uncle's been incarcerated right now for about 15 years. He has 42 years on his sentence.
Ooh.
And, yeah. And from all I know right this second is they're trying to get him out.
That's good.
The last time I've heard. Just because, you know, he's not doing too well in there. And when I mean not too well in there is health-wise. So we'll see what happens, you know. But I guess I wouldn't want to see him, because, you know, I know the uncle that I used to know versus the uncle that is in there now. Uh-huh. And it's not the same person. So I don't know. I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, oh, definitely wouldn't be for everybody. Most definitely wouldn't be for everybody. But that's, you know, that's one person. You know, I'm just saying one person, you know what I mean? But, you know, the other one, I've really been thinking about this, but, like, Bob Marley. Like, sitting down and having, like, a joint and a cup of tea with Bob Marley is probably going to be, like, the best thing anybody could ever
do. I bet it would be. I bet it would be fantastic.
It would just be insane. To do, you know, and other than that, like, I do have a family member that's not immediate, like mom and dad, but it would have been my dad's dad. His name was Nevis. I named him after my son because I remember him. You know, I remember him when I was younger, but I never got the chance to communicate with him, like actually communicate with him, because I got I can't remember exactly how old. I believe I was 5 when he passed. So I was my son's age. But I remember him. Like, I remember him picking me up and, like, biting me in my ass, like what I do to my son, you know, fucking playing with me. So, but I never got a chance to, like, actually communicate with him. I was able to with my grandma, you know, my mom's, my dad's mom, and with my mom's parents, I was able to before they passed, And it was just him, though. I never got a chance to really communicate with. And everybody used to always tell me that he was, like, the nicest man. And, yeah, he was just, you know, the nicest man. And, you know, one thing about my grandpa, and I actually didn't even know this, but my grandfather passed away, if I'm correct, from a bone cancer of some sort that took over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But he had actually known this for quite some time. And I don't know if this was selfish of him. I don't know. I'm not calling it selfish. I named my son after him based off of the stories and me growing up with him. But, he actually didn't tell nobody. He didn't tell nobody till right before he went, you know, that, hey, it's taking over. It's getting bad. It's not very long, you know. Damn. And you know, a good amount of time, you know. Would you do that, Phil?
Would I tell my people that I was getting ready to die?
Would you tell, let's say you got hit with something, right? And you had maybe you're on borrowed time. We're all on borrowed time, you know. Well, let's say a shorter borrowed time. Like, they told you, like, you got maybe less than a year, you know. But, you know, it's not nothing you could see. It's something internal or terminal, maybe something like that.
I'd have to tell everybody as soon as possible.
You would tell everybody?
Yeah, everybody who meant something to me, who would care for me, who would care that I was dying.
That you were gone, that you were about to leave.
Yeah.
That's true, because a year's not a long time, man. It'll fly.
It will fly. And most of that time, you're probably pretty much just dying anyway. So, like, you probably feel like shit most of the time, and you feel like horse garbage. So you're pretty much dead anyway at that point, you know? So it's not really a full year that you're just waiting to die. You're pretty much just, like, dead at that point, you know what I mean? Like, it's rough.
Yeah, it is. It is rough, man. It is rough. And I think I would say something else, you know. I want to see everybody, you know. And that's right, you probably would feel like shit, you know, just depending on what you're passing from. Well, everybody would feel like shit, I'm sure, if they're passing from something, at least I would think. But, yeah, man, it's just crazy, insane.
That was kind of rough.
To think of, but yeah, I would tell everybody, just want to see everybody as much as I could, and obviously I'd want to travel. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'd sit still. I'd want to, even though I'd probably have shit for health, I'd probably like I want to go somewhere. You know?
Oh yeah.
You know, just fucking, I don't know. Go play at, I don't know. Go fishing or go play a round of golf at Augusta National or something.
Yeah, I would do like that movie from Queen Latifah, you know, where she was getting ready. She thought she was going to die.
She thought she was going to die. Yeah,
and
yeah.
She just, like, went off. Like, I'd probably do the same thing.
You'd probably do the same thing. Damn. What would your last meal be, Phil? If you had one last meal and you knew you were going to go, what would your last meal be? Unlimited anything. Or you could have whatever you want.
Probably just brewery beer, man.
You literally, that you'd be faded before you left?
Yeah. Because then I just wouldn't feel anything.
It'd be drastically intense. I guess if they told me if I could have anything, I'd be like, yeah, let me have, like, the most potent fucking THC you have this side of the Mississippi, if it's legal. Something like that. But no, you think it's cliche to say steak?
I wouldn't even eat a steak. I'd probably eat a fat pizza or, like, are kind of like, what's another good one? Probably even like a bunch of Chinese food.
Oh, because when it comes out, yeah, it's going to come out. Yeah. That's how it works, man. Oh, man. I'd probably order fucking 10 Chuck Wagons to be delivered to me. Fucking steamy as fuck.
Damn, that sounds really good.
So that way, just whenever it happened, you know, I'll just fucking blow all this chuck wagon ass all over the place. Golly. Talk about a mess to clean up, you know. But that was my rant.
Yeah, dude, that was good, man. I liked our conversation today. Good. Thanks for joining me tonight, man. Thanks for joining me tonight. It was good.
Good, and thank everybody else for joining us, whoever hears this. And if you hear this, give us a comment, give us a like, give us a share. Say what's up, and we'll have some more content for you all later on. You know, maybe... No, I can't say.
Something, maybe something live soon. You never know. And I do need to talk to Tony Matthew Sonega so we can give him his shirt. And we can get his content that he won. I'll probably get everything when I'm down there and I'll see him so I can get some stuff. But yeah, you know, this was a good time. You know, thanks for talking with me tonight, Pete.
You got it. For sure, anytime. Hey, y'all follow my Instagram, Fatfish, and y'all see some videos and some pictures put up there momentarily. So follow my Fatfishing Instagram. And stay high and fuck Phil and hashtag fuck Phil. And yeah, so whatever.
And that's it. That's it. Everyone have a good night. Again, hashtag fuck Phil. You can follow me, fuck_Phil, on all my social medias. And as always, thanks for listening to Conversations with Phil and Pete. Peace.
Peace.